Today's daf, Daf Lamed Dalid, and we are up to the Eilek Mishnah, Ra'a et HaKoy. Yomar Harini Nazir Shezechaya. Now we know that a koy, there's a machlokas really, exactly what a koy is, whether it's a picture of a tayish and it's via, it's a mim bifneat. But in any event, the Chachamim were unable to be machriya whether this animal is called a chaya, or whether it's called a behema. Of course, the nafkamina would be in terms of eating its chaylev and other issues. But what's important here is whether that suffix creates a nazirut, if somebody makes his nazirut dependent on the koi status. So somebody sees a koi and he says, one guy says, Areni nazir shezeh chaya. And then another guy says, Areni nazir shezeh no chaya. We only had six guys before, and we have nine guys, you see. So one guy says it's a nazir that it is a chaya. One guy says he's a nazir that it's not a chaya. One guy says it's a nazir that this is a behema. One guy says I'm a nazir that it's not a behema. One guy says I'm a nazir it's a chaya and a behema. And one guy says I'm a nazir that it's neither a chaya nor a behema. Then another guy says I am a nazir that one of you is a nazir. The other guy says I'm a nazir that one of you isn't a nazir. One guy says I'm a nazir that all of you are nazir. So Hare kulam nazirim. Now here there's a machlokus whether this means dafka libet beit shamai, who holds that someone who makes a nazirut, even though he's mistaken, is included in the hekdesh ta'ut, or whether, as the Rambam suggests, even though libet beit shamai, since over here there are elements of behemah v'chayah and the halacha of a koi, so each one of them could be referring to that element. There's certain things. Yesh odrachim shaveh lebeimah, yesh odrachim shaveh lechayah, bedrachim sheino shaveh, and so on. So in which case, it may be that this could work out, afilo alib de beit hillel. Tani chode tish'a nezirim, v'tagya idach tish'a neziriyot. Now there's one man diyomar who reads this as nine separate nezirim who were walking along, which is the case of the Mishnah, that he left out that opening, just like the previous one, shisha shayom alfi, tish'a, that would be tish'a nezirim. And one man, the Yomar, has separate Naziriyot, not separate Nazirim. In other words, one individual makes on himself Nazirut on basis A, that it's a Behem, on basis B, that it's a Chaya, and so on. That it's not a Chaya, that it's not a Behem, that it's both a Chaya and a Behem.
One guy says all of these
things. One guy says all of these things. So, in other words, if we hold that each one of these things is a separate Nazirut, so then he could be a Nazir nine different times. Says the Gemara, now, wait. Nine doesn't work out. Nine nizirim, yes, that works out. You don't have a gavre today, the itvis v'yazobe. It could be nine people. And then you get these last guys saying, I'm a nazir, that you are all nazirim. But how do you do that to yourself? But how do you get tisha nizirim, l'chad gavre, echem eshkachatla? I mean, you get the first six. Mishlam eshit v'ashkachatla. Because over there, each one could be a separate nizirut because it has elements that are one or the other, and not one and not the other, or neither or both, which is six. But how do you get to the ones that refer to other people that are saying them? So talat echemesh kachatla in this case. Omer of sheshet, look, I mean, the ones that say niziriyot clearly would have to be read as talking about the Omer. Areni nazir v'nizirut hakol alai. So that this person now is committing himself. The Gra doesn't have the lashon areni nazir, but rather that it's one person who is referring to nine people who make the nazirut, and he says your naziriyot are on me. So in other words, these are not mutually exclusive. Like this, if you have nine nazirim, it'll be mutually exclusive. The one who's saying it is a chaya can't be the same guy who's saying it's not a chaya. That's a different guy. What we're saying over here is that they're not mutually exclusive, which is an indication of the way the Rambam was learning. You can say it's not a chaya, and you can say it is a chaya, and both will be true in terms of a koi. So that it's possible to have not only a nazir ta'ut, the way we understand it, if it's separate people, but rather we can have it as being nine separate naziriyot on one individual, and we don't see necessarily a contradiction of one with the other, because we're looking at the element in which this is true, rather than the nazirut of the ta'ut. But it has to be one or the other. That's not necessarily true by a koi. So it comes out, it's a very, very different way of learning. If you learn it's different people, it can be mutually exclusive. is the same person, it's clearly not mutually exclusive.
Is that why this is in, I was going to say, the dark, but like the, I was trying to understand somebody saying, why is it here and not dark, sort of some of the issues you could have had earlier, right?
The issue of what? Hekdesh b'taut?
Yeah,
well, I mean, the nezirut is be'etzim called kodesh. That's why we have it here. That he's kodesh. The nezir rosho. He's the kidashis rosho. So all of these in Yom have to do with hekdesh b'taut, which is this whole parak. Is specific to Nazir for that reason. That's not to say that if you say Konim, you don't get into the same kind of issues,
right.
Because obviously you do. But it's not an essence of Nedarim, whereas it is the essence of the particular Neder that relates to Nazir. Hadron Alok Beit Shammai, our vice president. I mean, it's a ceremonial position.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the Yikr ceremony.
Send me to funerals and
things. Chas v'shalom.
Well, no, I mean, representation. But the vice president does.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
We'll send you to Henya's funeral as a representative.
To who?
Henya, you know, the Hamas guy.
When Reagan first became president, he said Bush straight up will not be the kind of vice president who just goes to funerals. The first thing he did was send him to Tito's funeral.
So, five other helika perek, shlosha minim asurim benazir. Now, this perek is a very, very, very perek, a lot of inyanim in it, a lot of inyanim that have implications for all over Shas. And it starts off gently enough in the opening Mishnah to discuss the various Yisurim of the Nazir. However, we are immediately thrown in way over our heads in discovering the source of the various limudim of Prat Klal of Prat, and Miyat and Ribui, and the din of Heter Mitzdar Fliyisr from Mishrat Yayin, a lot of halakhos that are brought all over Shas in terms of Dinei Achila and Drushas come from this parak. So we'll also try to start off easy, because we really cannot complete Sugya in a daf. Because what appears to be true on this daf and the following dafim becomes much more complex. We review it, understand it differently. So again, let's understand that this is a work in progress, and we'll take it. Take it just on its simplest level today. So, Shoshami Nima Surim Benazir. The Torah mentions three separate sets of Yisurim. One of them is the issue of Tuma, obviously, Yakon Nafshot Meit, and that's a whole sugya by itself. What exactly defines that Tuma? Which Tumot Meit? Then of Tumot Tahom, it's a whole set of issues. The Tiglachat, which is also something totally unrelated, and the Yisurim Achila, which is Hayotzei Min HaGefen. Let's start with Hayotzei Min HaGefen. Kol ha-yotzei min ha-gefen, mitztarfim zeh im zeh. So you could be mitztarf. You know, the Torah lists a lot of different things. So it talks about anavim lachim and anavim yeveshim. So that's whether it's a grape or it's a raisin. Mechart sanim v'yadzag, whether it's the skins or whether it's the pits or vice versa. We'll see that's a machlokas, which is which. And then we have the yayin and shechar itself, which is also yotzei min ha-gefen. Shechar here would mean things like cognac, things that are based on wine, that are a taruvas of yayin. It doesn't mean beer, but another drink that you make from the gefen. So that's a whole different set of isurim. And it's a set of isurim that consists, interestingly enough, partially of eating and partially of drinking. And yet, anything that's yotzi ben gefen is mitzarev, which is a little weird because usually you're not mitzarev things that have different shiurim. So what would that mean? You could be mitzarev. What, a half a revius with a half a kezias? How exactly would that work? To be mitzarek, all of the things that are yotzim in hagefen. Well, here things get a little bit more complicated. Eno chayav achiyochal min ha'anavim kezayif, and according to the Mishnah Rishonah, achi yishteh revit yayin. There's a whole, I'll tell you over after, forgetting the entire thing that leads to it. The Rambam understands that this is a machlokas between two shittas. There's the Tanakama who holds, at least this is the way the Brisker Rav understands the Rambam, so otherwise the Rambam is very problematic. There's a Tanakama that holds that, taking for granted, achila from an avim, shtia on yayin. There's then a Mishnah Rishona that comes to say that all of the shiurim are berevias, even the achila. And that's the meaning of mitzvah. So that here we have a unique situation where since the essence of the Isra on the Nazir is wine. Other elements of the vine are looked at as wine. And that's the Mishnah Rishonah. Then we have Rabbi Akiva, who says that even the drinking in this case is eating, and the shir is kezayin. So that the Rambam understands Rabbi Akiva as well as saying, afilu sharap ito bayayin, you take a kezayis of bread and you dip it in wine, and now it absorbs the wine into it. V'yesh ba kedei letzareif kezayin. Now you have in that piece of bread, you have now wine mixed with it. Now the Rambam understands that the revius was absorbed. In which case, it's really a din of achila of a revius. Right. But the Meiri understands that actually a revius and a kezayis is the same shear. Because the Gemara in Shabbos says that if a revius becomes korush, it's achiyamad al kezayis. Like I'll be the shear of what's on Shabbos. No, it's just a question whether it's dehydrated. So it becomes korush. So the hydration is not the important point. What is the issue of the vine? So that's how he understands, which is a different understanding. And then we'll see that there's a very dramatically different way of understanding this as part of the bit of hetem and tzarif le'isser, where when it comes to nazir, we have a special halacha that even without a mixture, the din of achila is defined by the act of achila. But what it is that you're eating is unimportant, as long as some of it is aser. Normally, the Torah asers the act of eating of the iser. But when it comes to nazir, the Torah asers any of the elements of nazirut, as long as you ingested them in an act of eating. It's an entirely different issue. How do we know that? Because it says, v'chol mishrat yayin. Mishrat yayin means soaked up wine. When he don't have soaked up wine, either he had the wine, he didn't have the wine. Either it was enough there to have revi'it, if they achilat prat, in which case it's there or you didn't. But if you're telling me a new chiddush of mishrat yayin, it means that I can actually add into the kezayin the actual heter. So according to some, it doesn't even have to be mixed. I got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'll be chayav because I ate a kezayin. It's astounding. This is to be explored later. But again, just taking the Mishnah Kipshutai, so that according to Rabbi Akiva, the way the Rambam understands is that all of these surim are in terms of achilat kezayit. So that we have a Tanakama that holds achilat b'kezayit shtiyah b'reviyas. We have the Mishnah Rishonah who holds achilat v'shtiyah b'reviyas. And we have Rabbi Akiva who holds achilat v'shtiyah b'kezayit. Again, that's a unique shot among the Rishonim. We'll go over this again to discuss Tosfos Pshat and Farash Pshat. It's a lot of different Pirushim over here. But Lahalocha, the Rambam Paskins, like the Tanakhama, which according to others doesn't even exist. And therefore, according to them, they're bothered by the fact that if he says Shtia is Kirvias, he's Paskin like the Mishnah Rishonah. And we never Paskin like the Mishnah Rishonah, which is very strange. Whenever we introduce something with Mishnah Rishonah, it means that's what they used to say. But we've evolved beyond that in our understanding, right? V'chayav al ha'yayin bifnei atzmo v'al ha'anavim bifnei atzma v'al ha'chartzadim bifnei atzman v'al ha'zagin bifnei atzman. You would be chayav on each one of these things separately. So if you ate a kezayit of all of them, a kezayit of each, you would be chayav on each one a separate law and separate malchus, according to Rambam again. Others learn that this statement is only coming to tell me bi'ikar. Don't believe what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is about to tell you. You'd be chayav even if you just ate a pile of pips. Well, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, eno chayav at shiyochal shnei chartzanim v'zak. He's learning that the chartzanim are the pips, and the zag is the skin. So what he's saying is that if you have the grape, forget about the pulp of the grapes. You have the two pips of the grape, which is common, and you have the skin of the grape. That's why the Torah put it in that way. Chartzanim, Lashon Rabim, and Zag. So you need to have that combination in order to become chayav. Not chayav just eating pips. Elohein ha-chartzanim, Elohein zagim. Which ones are which? The zagim, the chartzanim, is the skin, achitzonim, and the zagim, elapnimiim, the Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda who holds that the zagim are the ones that are in the plural, essentially. In other words, they're what's inside. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, no, don't make that mistake. If an animal is wearing a bell, what do you call that? Zag. What's the clapper? The inbal. Right? So that's how to remember what's what. Gezug shobeima. Hachitzon is called the zog. So that's the bell. And the pnimi, which is the clapper, is called the inbal. So therefore, you don't have to, we use that in English too, it's the inbel, right? So the part that's inside, it's easy to remember, in the bell, is the inbel, as opposed to the zug, which is the chitzon. So that don't get mixed up, it's actually the chartzonim, or the insides, and that's exactly what Rav Elazar ben Azariah was assuming. Okay, says the Gemara, Shor Sheminim, Asurim ben Azir, Hatumah, Hatiglachat, and Hayotzei min HaGefen. Now, the words Hayotzei min HaGefen imply only those things that are derivatives of a vine. That, yes, eat. But how about the vine itself? How about if you eat? Now, we certainly eat parts of the vine. I mean, grape leaves are very, very popular. Grape shoots are very popular. That's the vine itself. Is that included? No, it says over here only that which is taken out of the vine. Gefen atzmolo, which would mean that the Mishnah does not follow the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer, afilu alin velulavim. Indeed, grape leaves and the grape sprouts, b'mashma, are included in kol hayotzei min hagefen. Ikri aver la seifa. Others say, we would not have been medayik the ratio. Not those circumstances. Because to say hayotzei min hagefen could support anything that comes off of the vine. So that would include leaves. It would include sprouts. I would not have made the diik from the ratio. Where I would make the diik, however, is with the seifa. Because the seifa says that b'lashon shlila is a negative. Eino chayav, you will not be chayav, ela ach yochal mina anavim kizay. Why does it stress that? That means only parts of the fruit. True, that could include the zagim, the chatzanim, but not the actual wood or leaves that come of the vine itself. Now there you can't say you're not chayav unless you really mean that. I couldn't include this in the feet. It's over there. There I'm medayim. Tafka min anavim, you're saying him. But miyagefen atzmo lo, from which I conclude, matitin de loke Rabbi Elazar, tatanya Rabbi Elazar omer, afilo alim velulavim bimashma. Now, this opens up a can of worms, literally, by the way, as we'll see later on, in terms of what happens if the worms get to the grapes, but also a real difficult sugya of how to darshan the Torah. Now, we know there are many, many places where the Torah uses lashonos, that's a very general, and then mixes in some type of comment that seems very particularized. And it does this a different way. Sometimes you just have the klal and then the prat. Sometimes you have a prat and then a klal. Sometimes you have a klal and then a prat and then a klal again. And sometimes you have a prat and then a klal and then a prat again. Now, the question is, the very use of the words klal and prat is pejorative. Why? Because it's taking for granted that there's a relationship that's meant to be indicated by my usage of the two. In other words, prat means detail, and klal means general. If I say general and detail, it means that I am assuming that the detail is something that is defining the general, or that's part of it. But that's a prejudice. That may not be true. It may be that they're unrelated. It may be that the klal isn't really a klal. The klal is simply a way in which I'm trying to be inclusive. But it's not a category. Klal itself would mean a set. If I look at it as just an inclusive comment, it's not a set. It's just a ribui. So it's adding things. If I look at a prat as prat, then it's detail of a set. It's a member of a set. But if I look at it as specification, then I have to see it as a limiter. And that's all. Not necessarily related to the non-general ribui that was coming before it. So there's two very different ways of looking at the way the Torah interrelates overall statements with particularized statements. Are they related as klal prat or klal prat, and so on? Or are they unrelated in the sense that each one of them is serving a different purpose? We don't look for a common denominator to put them into one definitive thing so that each thing is interrelated. So one is called darshan Torah b'ribui v'miyud, in which we just look at each thing on its own. The other is called darshing b'klal u'prat. When I say klal u'prat, I mean overall klal u'prat, klal u'prat, klal u'prat, and so on. Now, it's also not necessarily true that we always need to darshan b'klal u'prat, and we always need to, or choose to always darshan b'riboy u'miyutei. There may be hints in the Torah as to when to look at it as one and when to look at it as the other. For instance, suppose we would have a strange construction of, let's say, two klals, then a prat. Or two prats, then a klal. Is that a klal, prat, a klal, a klal, prat, a prat? I mean, so they're already the Torah sitting. Now, don't look at this as being well-formed. So it's not a well-formed argument. Then just look at it as miyutim and ribuyim. That's one possibility. There are examples of such things. There are also places in which it's far more reasonable to expect that we will darshan a relationship of prat and klal rather than a relationship of miyut and ribuy. Because it may be that it's more logical to say prat, klal, u prat than it is to say klal, prat, u klal. Because, I mean, after all, like prat, there's innumerable prats, but how do you come up with innumerable klals? I mean, either there is a set or there isn't a set. I mean, how does the set mentioned two times with a detail in the middle, maybe over there it's more logical to darshan with a ribuy and a miyut. Okay, so we're going to see in our sugya some of the variations of the shitas of these drushas. Of course, we are used to the brisa from the Sifra, which is the famous brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, that we read the midot shatora nidreshet b'hem. But not everybody agrees with that particular construction of the seder, of the midot. And we'll see that now the very issue that we just raised so innocently about, are we talking about the pieces of the vine, or are we talking about only the fruit of the vine, that itself may be dependent in some of these fundamental issues about how to look at the Torah's usage of generalities and specifics. But my kamifl again, what is the machlokis, therefore, between Rabbi Elazar and the Mishnah here, in which Rabbi Elazar says, we include in the Yisur even leaves and sprouts. Well, Rabbi Eliezer in general darshans the Torah with ribuy and miyute, whereas the Rabboni in general darshan klale uprata. So, it's clear, even on a surface reading, that when you darshan klal uprat, if the prat defines the nature of the klal, and that's the meaning of klal uprat, remember, that we're talking about an insight into the nature of the set by taking examples of the set that allow you to extrapolate what the real nature of the set is. We would never say that about a ribuy and a miyut. We'd never say that the detail is a detail about what was included because there is no set. Ribuy doesn't mean set. Ribuy just means a general statement. So I would never say that a specific is an indication of the nature of the general statement. You see? We're about to. No, the whole Gemara is going to be full of examples. But in terms of the logic of it, you immediately understand that once the Gemara says those words, the Rabbanan argue from klal uprat, an approach of klal uprat. An approach of klal uprat will never be as broad as an approach of ribuy u'miyut. Because once I need to define what the klal is with the prat, I'm going to be limiting it far more than if I were looking at things. First, there's a general statement, okay? Don't eat things through the vine. Now you ask me, so why did you specify this? Well, I didn't specify it to teach you anything about my previous statement. I specified it to exclude something. So what are you going to exclude? I'll exclude the most unreasonable thing from being included. So if I had a list of 30 items, I'll exclude item 30. This is the least reasonable to include in this inclusive statement. So I could say, okay, you tell me the vine. Now, the most reasonable thing is wine. Beneath that is grape. Beneath that is a raisin. Beneath that is a skin. Beneath that is a pit. Beneath that is a leaf. Beneath that is a sprout. Beneath that is a stick of the vine itself. And so on. I didn't include all of them, by the way. No, seriously, we're going to get into all of them. Because there are also delicate parts of the grape from which the tartar is made, which is sort of a goo that surrounds the pips, which needs its own inclusion. We have partially grown grapes, bosa, which needs its own inclusion. We have grapes that will never ripen because they're not exposed to the sun. They grow between the actual clusters. We need that to be maruva. We have wormy grapes, which are not going to be eaten on their own. We need an inclusion. What about vinegar? We need that. So I haven't given you a list. When I said 30 items, I wasn't being all that exaggerating. So we've got a long list. If I have now an element which the Torah says something not, because I mentioned the detail, yes, which one am I going to exclude? The sticks. But if I have a detail of a rule, I'll say, well, the detail means something that is the is the commonly edible piece. So I'll say, oh, well, okay, well, that would include maybe raisins and the grape and, you know, and maybe the goo, but not the leaves. So you immediately see where we're headed. It's going to be a major difference about whether we're looking at how to define a set or whether we're looking at exclusions and inclusions, right? So therefore, the Gemara says, okay, we understand Rabbi Elazar has a much broader definition of what the Torah says a nazir shouldn't eat. So he is darshaning ribuy and miyut. We'll get into the details of this in a moment. Whereas the Rabbanan, who have a very strict definition of what it is that the nazir is not going to eat, and it will not include leaves and sprouts, they darshan kvala prati. So here's how it would go. Rabbi Elazar looks at the pasuk. He darshans ribuy umiyut. And he reads the pasuk and he begins. It says in the Torah, "Yayin v'shechar yazir, chometz yayin v'chometz shechar lo yishteh, v'chol bishrat anavim lo yishteh, v'anavim lachiv v'yaveshim lo yochel." Okay, so he says, let's start at the beginning. "Yayin v'shechar yazir." Now that's a very limited thing. Okay, I can't drink the wine or the cognac. Great. If we would leave it at that, maybe it wouldn't be so bad to be nazir. Then it says, wow, mikol asher yaseh. Oh, wow, mikol asher yaseh, migefen ayayin. Now that's awfully, awfully broad. So that, mikol asher yaseh, that is clearly a riba. So anything at all that comes from the gefen ayayin. Okay, so now I have to say to myself, on the one hand I've got a riba, on the other hand I've got a miyit. And I therefore look at it in such a case where I have a riba, miyet v'riba. So what do I have? I have to look at the riba. If I have a riba, miyet v'riba, riba hakol. So when you say riba hakol, what do I mean? I mean everything. My riba, riba kol mile. Anything that comes from, it says, anything that comes from the gefen ayayin, can't you read? That's everything. So, well, it can't literally be everything, can it? I mean, there was something that you said was specific. You said miyayin v'shechar. So you can't mean everything. So my miyet, miyet shabishta. Yeah. What it's telling me is that the actual grown, hardened stick out of the vine, that's not included. Fine. So that's like a srigei ayayin. Because it's connected to bagefet shloshas srigin. The targum of it is shibashin. In the chalom that Yosef was protect. Okay. Now I understand why he says it includes even the leaves. Now obviously we haven't really done ourselves proud yet, because we've left out an awful lot of detail of that pasuk. The Yeveshim and Lachim and the Chartzanim and Zag and all of that. We're ignoring that for the moment. So we're keeping things simple. But let's just look at the relationship of the Yain v'Shechar to the Mikol HaShayatze v'Gefen HaYain. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, they darshan klali uprati. So that's okay. Let's take a look at this. We've got miyayin v'shechar yazir. Now that's a prat. We've got mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin. Now that's clearly a klal. And then we've got micharzadim adzag. Now that's another prat. So now we've got a prat and a klal and a prat. Okay, what do we do with that? Well, the rule on that is yatadan elak in a prat. We'll see how we know this. We'll get to that in the coming pages. Ma prat mufarash pri, upsolet pri. Look, I mean, it talks about the pri, and it talks about the psolet of the pri. I mean, we're certainly not going to, usually people don't sit around eating the pips, or eating the just the skin of the grape. So, nonetheless, that's included. So, therefore, af kol pri, upsolet pri. Therefore, I am ready to extend my general rule. A set of things are defined by the two examples that have been given here. And those two examples are things that are pre and are psolet pre. Okay. Anything that's pre and psolet pre is included. But wait a minute. But the things that are included are both fully formed. I mean, why don't we say the pratim add up to a pre-gamur. I mean, but if you had something that was not a finished product, even if it's a pre, it shouldn't be included. So why not say it even more detailed? Say, the common denominator here is that we have a fully formed pre or its byproduct. But if we didn't have a fully formed pre, then we couldn't include it. So if we had a grape that wasn't fully grown, Torah wouldn't answer the nazir in that. So why not say it that way? Av kol pri gomor. Says the Gemara, well, let's assume for a moment that would be the case. This is actually an excuse that the Gemara has to go through the other details. Okay? So saying, given these details, the rule would be that all types of pre and psalm. Wait, says the Gemara, that's not true. Given these details, you only know it fully formed pre. Ah, good point. Okay, so now what were the things that you would have wanted to include given that definition of the set? Because whatever it is, I can tell you that the Torah already mentioned it. You see? So let's take a look at how the Gemara does that. Imkein, say to yourself, Imkein, my niechla katub b'mashmao shelo amro. Think about that for a minute. What then would you be able to add that had not already been said? What are you going to say? Anavim lachim? Fresh grapes? Raisins? I mean, that's a pre-gamur. Fresh grapes and raisins is stated openly. Okay, what else? Wine? Vinegar? Fully formed. Sorry, sir. That's stated openly. So, anavim lachim yaveshim? Haktivi. Yayin v'chomets? Haktivi. We now understand why it is we need these additional elements to make it clear that that cannot be the meaning of the prat klal prat, because otherwise we wouldn't be adding anything by the klal. So therefore, ha'inelech haladul kelashon acharon, you now know that it would be improper to look for the common denominator as you stated it, that it has to be a pre-gamur. It's got to be that the common denominator simply is pre, and psalit pre. So therefore, kelashon acharon elech kelashon arishon, the way I said it. But yeah, I mean, if that's the case, so miachash is a finil rabot called avarch, mata mudomar bicharzanim vaatzak. But I mean, then what it is that you're going to be marbe is something that I would have known from the klal anyway. Why did you say charzanim vaatzak, which is just adding additional detail that's unnecessary because I already figured that out myself. Ah, that's lo marlecha kol makot shatamotzei. Prat uklal. If I hadn't said bichartzanim va'atzad, following the klal of b'kol asher yaseh migefen hayayin, you would not have a right to read it as a set defined by its details. So, in other words, when I take a look as a naive reader, I haven't seen a broad spectrum of the Torah yet. I come across these pesukim, I say to myself, look, if I've got an example and I've got a rule, it makes the most sense to read it as a detail of a set followed by a description of the set, right? But then I think to myself, but if that were true, what would be the point of giving me an additional detail subsequent to the set? If you want to list the details, list all the details and then tell me the set. It must be that it's telling me that I need a well-formed description in which you have a set surrounded by detail, in order for me to assume that there's a relationship of the details to the set. But if I don't have that, I mustn't read it as a set with its details. So that would mean, if it were just a prat and a klal, I would be wrong to see the two as related. And I would have to view that prat and klal as the equivalent of a ribui, of a miyut and a ribui. Now we'll see there are technical differences that the Gemara is going to get into in fine detail later about whether we call something a prat uklal, even where it's not prat, klal, or prat, or whether we call it a ribui and miyut. Right now, for our purposes, what the Gemara is saying, again, I'm saying let's keep it simple, what the Gemara is saying is where you do not have this well-formed structure of prat, klal, or prat, you mustn't read it as a set that is being defined by details, You have to read it as if it were just two different things. One, a generalized description, and the other one being the specific. Now, depending on the order. In this case, it was first Prat and Klal. So what would I have said? It's to teach me, Iyata Rishai Lemashchov Laduno Ke'ina Prat. If you don't have a second set of details following the set of the Klal, so then the Klal is viewed as a Musaf ala Prat. It's viewed as an infinite expander of the Prat, unless the Torah follows it by a prat, like it appears here, to teach you to darshan it as a prat, klal, a prat, and then it's ke'en haprat. And ke'en haprat is a classic definition of a set, correct? You have the set. You need to define what is included in that set. The prat defines for you the definition. What is the definition of the set of items that is in here included? But if it's not well formed, we don't look at the two as being related in this fashion. So if I just would have said, first the prat, and then I would have said, Bikol asher aziyah semigefen hayayin, I would say, look, that kalal is just musaf ala prat. It's telling me, I don't really mean to these details. I mean, just expand that into everything. And then anything that would be associated with the vine would be included, and we'd have to look for something that first prat was coming to tell me, well, maybe not everything. So it's similar to a libud of a ribuy and a miyud. Okay? Except it would have to be in that order. It would have to be here. It would have to be prat and klal. Okay. All right, let's go back now and understand that, says the Gemara. Let's start from the beginning. You say, maha prat mufurash pri upsolet pri, Avko pri upsolet pri. Okay, let me get this straight now. You're saying that pri, you're referring to the grape, I assume, right? The envy itself. The psolet pri, where is the psolet pri? The word chometz. Chometz vinegar is basically degenerate chometz. So it's degenerate wine. So that's the chometz. Avko pri upsolet pri. Okay, when you never told me what you wanted to add. Okay, what exactly did you mean when you said you want to add something? So what are you adding? So what af kol pri mayi? What I'm adding is anything, even a guharki. A guharki is an unripened grape. So it's a pri, but it's not a full pri. So I'm including the guharki. That's why the Gemara said that maybe it only means a pre-gomer, and we came to say, no, it can't mean only a pre-gomer. So therefore, we now know bosa. Okay. You also said, af kol, you said, is psolet pri. Where's that? Where's psolet pri? Omer Ifkana, that would mean to include la'atuye invin dichri, or some have the girsa invi dichodun, which is the anavim, that have been ruined on the vine by withering or by infestation. So now these are grapes that are psolet. Nonetheless, they are included, because if chometz is included, they should be included. Okay. Then it comes along now. So you're telling me the psolet pri, amrifkana, is the invedichri. And then when it says, michatzanim va'at zag, what's the zag? That comes to include the gel. This is how the Mefarish learns. It's a very nice chat. The gel itself, which you find that you use for making the tartaric acid and the sauce. So that gel is the Bein HaBinai. And that too is V'ad zag. Because otherwise, V'ad is weird. I mean, something in between the pip and the skin. I mean, that's the grape. Therefore, the Mefarish explains, no, it's not the grape, it's the gel within the grape. So if you take a look today in your home, take a look and you'll see that there's a gelled material around the pip of the grape, which is not pulp, but it's more than a membrane. But yeah, it's an actual gel. It's not just a thin membrane. So that material, the Mefarish learns, is what it's referring to. Others learn that it does mean the material of the grape, but it means as it's scraped away from inside of the grape, which is not the derech achila, which is difficult to accept. And the Mefarish's pshat is really very, very much on target here. Okay, so we've added. What do we mean by Afkol of the Pri? What do we mean Afkol of the Psolet Pri? And what are we adding by the additional words, the Adzag? So we've handled all of that. We also understand why it says separately the ideas of the Yayin and the Geffen and the Anavibi of Eshiva Lachim, because that's to force me into accepting that the detail here doesn't demand a fully formed pre. So we've got a good sense of this pasuk. The construction of the pasuk Chatzanim Adzag, subsequent to the Klal of Kol HaShayotze B'Geffen HaYayin, that's coming to tell me only Darshan, the relationship of Klal and Prat in this way, when it's fully formed. Prat, followed by Klal, followed by Prat. Otherwise, you'd have to view the Klal as just a general statement, not defined by the Prat that comes before it. The fact that it says these extra words of the Av, that comes to include the gel, which is Korosh in between. Meanwhile, we've come to the Marva, the Boser, we've come to the Marva, the infestations, but we don't have any indication that the vine itself would be included. So according to Rabbanan, this makes great sense. The Mishnah makes great sense. Now let's take a look at the other way of looking at it. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish it. So, this is Lasuya Beda Binai. Now, you furthermore came up with an option, which we didn't accept, but you wanted to say that the Prat is Dafka Pri Gomur, Avko Pri Gomur, and we attacked you by saying, well, that's not true. Because then, Imkein Mainiya Chakatuva Bashma Oshalom Ro. What else would it be adding then? Go ahead, tell me. The grape? It says the grape, Anavim Lachim. Raisins? It says Yaveshim. So it can't be adding that. Octavi. Is it coming to tell me wine? It says wine. Is it coming to tell me vinegar? It says vinegar. Yain v'chovitz. Octavi. Ha'ein lecha ladun kelashon acharon, ela kelashon harishon. U'mi'achesh esofeinu l'rabot kol davar, mata l'gomar v'chatzanim v'atzag. If we already know that this is what it means, why did we need to add the additional prat afterwards to teach me about the formation of a prat klal uprat? V'lmar lecha, kol makom shata motzei prat uklal. You don't have a right, yatav asher lemoshcho, v'ledunon ke'in haprat. You do not have a right to draw them into each other, and to say that this is the detail of a set, as if it would be ke'in haprat. Look at this prat and use it to define the nature of your set's contents. No. You mustn't do that, because it wasn't properly formed. Ella, you must look at it as unrelated, klal, being most safe ala prat, unless achifropecha katuv, kederach shepirepecha benazir, bichatzani vatzak, until you find a structure that is similar to the structure that you found in Nazir. So this becomes now a basis of the entire limud of prat, klal, uprat. Now, not klal, prat, or klal. But this is a limud of prat, klal, uprat. And it's coming to tell me, basically, sounds like the same thing as a klal, prat, or klal, which is weird. I mean, which is what I was going to talk about later. What is the difference between a prat, klal, or prat, and a klal, prat, or klal, according to this? Okay, we say we have this well-formed argument. I mean, it's a totally different relationship. So, again, to be seen. But meanwhile, we've had beautiful, beautiful, really exciting analysis of that parsha of Nazir that on the surface seems just so wordy. Talking about the Chartzanim, and Adzag, and Anavim Yaveshim, and Lachim, and then Kol HaShe Yasim Yigefen HaYayin. I mean, you get the sense of poor editorship over there, until you see the way in which you have to look at the Pesukim correctly, and it's teaching you how to read the interrelationship between detail and generality in the Torah. Okay, now Rebbe Elazar obviously has a different approach, which we'll start up with tomorrow. This is a lot of fun, it really is. It's a shame we can't do the whole Sugya and Kulin together with this. We really ought to. Because there we have some great cloud product clouds and reading with the examples and analysis and wars. But we'll try to make do just with Nazir for the time being. But don't forget this. And when we get to Kulin, you'll be up and at it.
18 months or so.
Restful recreation. Ra'am etakoy. Va'amar harini Nazir shezechayam. And another guy says, "Already the zish, they know chaya. Already the zish is a beima. Already the zish is a beima. Already the zish is a chaya u beima. Already the zish is a low chaya u low beima. Already the zish shechad mechem nazir. Already the zish ena chad mechem nazir. Already the zish shekuchem nazirim. Already kulam nazirim. It would have been better if I wasn't so worried. Tani Chala, Tisha Nizirim, which was the way I read it, but Vitanya Idach, Tisha Niziriot, which doesn't mean female Nizirot, but which means separate Nidarim of Nizirot. So, Bishleima Tisha Nizirim.
One person,
yeah. So, Bishleima Tisha Nizirim. Okay, I mean, you're going to have a Gavitve. I mean, you get 9 people. It was Viazube. But Tisha Nizirot, how does that work out? Machab Gavra. Look, I mean, it's easy to see the six. First six. This is a chayah, this is not a chayah. This is a behemah, this is not a behemah. This is a chayah and a behemah. This is not a chayah, not a behemah. Okay, I mean, you could say that for one person. But then how can you say, I am a nazir, that all of the above, there are no all of the above are nazirim. So what is that referring to? So the last three, so shit mashkachava gittitanava, tla teche mashkachava, he's not denying the structure of the Mishnah, but what he means is that one person who hears all of these types of the Zirut can accept all of them without there being exclusive. Even though it's a contradiction, it can't be both this and that. Even if you want to say that on one individual it would be Chal, Kamash Malan, that if he says Zirut HaKol Alai, he would indeed be Chayev, as if he was Mekabel, Teishan Zirut HaLatzmo. Shlosha minim asurim benazir. Atuma v'tiklachat v'yotzei ben hagefen. V'chol ha'yotzei ben hagefen mitztarfim ze im ze. V'eino chayav ad sheyochal minan ha'anavim kizayit. According to the Mishnah Rishona, ad sheyishter revi'it yayin, whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, you don't need to be drinking revi'is yayin, afilu sharap ito b'yayin, v'yesh pa kedei letzarev kizayit, chayav. וחייב על היין בפני עצמו, ועל הנביאים בפני עצמם, ועל החרצנים בפני עצמם, ועל הזגים בפני עצמם. רבי אלעזר בן עזריה says, no, you're not, because it says חרצנים ועד זג to make them as one unit, and you would not be חייב on them עד שיאכל שני חרצנים וזג, the way it says it in the pasuk. Which ones? אלו הן חרצנים ואלו הן זגים. החרצנים אלו החיצונים, והזגים אלו הפנימים, דברי רבי יהודה. Rabbi Yossi Omer, don't ever make that mistake. Shalotit eh. You can use as a simen the zug of a behemah, in where we call the chitzon the zug, and the pnimi in the bell is called the imba. Shosha minim asri benazir hatuma, hatiglachat, and ayotze min hagefen. Now, ayotze min hagefen seems to be very specific. But the gefen itself, gefen atzmo lo. In which case, Masnis in Olak Rebel Azar, the Tani Rabbi Elazar Omer, Afilo Alim Lulavim Bamashma. Ikiri Amrila Seifa. You can't be Bedayak that from the Resha, because Yotzim and a Geffen could include things growing from a Geffen, even the leaves. But where the Seifa says, Veino Chayav, Elach Yochal Minanavim Kizayit, that stresses Minanavim, but Mina Geffen Atzmo Lo. And there I could safely say, Matitin Dalok Rabbi Elazar, Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer Afilo Alim Velulavim Bemashma. B'maika Biflugay, Rabbi Elazar Darish Ribuyu Miyute, Rabbanan Darshe Klaliu Prati. Rabbi Elazar Darish Ribuyu Miyute, he reads it, look, Miyayin B'shechar Yazir. Now that whole post got a miyat. Then it goes ahead to say, Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Ayayin. Now that's a ribuy. Miyat for ribuy, riba ko, my riba, riba ko mile. Umay miyat, one thing out of the whole list. What's the lowest thing that you would have thought to include? The shapishta, which is already hardened. Rabbanan dasha klali uprati. Miyayin v'shechar yazir, that's a prat. Mikol asher yaseh migefen ayayin, that's a klal. Then it goes on to say mecharzanim v'atzag, which of course according to Rebbe Elazar is something entirely different. That's that new halacha, perhaps. So chazar v'porat, prat klal uprat, Iyatadan elakena prat, ma prat befurash pri upsolat pri, afko pri upsolat pri. What makes you say that? Why can't you say, ma prat befurash pri gomur, afko pri gomur? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I'm not. In Cain, what do you need a claw brother call for? Mai niyakla katuv bashmao, shalo omro. The set is not adding anything new that isn't listed in detail. Because what are you going to add? What? Anavim lachim yeveshim. Well, I already said that. Aktive. Yain v'chometz. Aktive. So what else could it be? Ha'ein alach aladur gelashon acharon, ela gelashon rishon. So now, this also teaches me something very important. When I have a prat klal uprat, it means don't look at all elements of the common denominator. Select only the most glaring elements of the common denominator. That's why it teaches it to us in this way. Because otherwise, remember, we have serious differences about, okay, how much do we look at the common denominator of the pratim that are given? Let's say we could make a common denominator that would include six different elements. And only things that match all six of those elements would be included. Would we go for all six? Five out of the six? How exactly would we go for it? So this is the first hint that the Torah is telling us. Do not have strict interpretation. The truth is that, as we'll see, it really, first of all, depends on the construction. If it's prat, klal, or prat, or klal, prat, or klal. Obviously, a klal, prat, or klal much more tends towards the generality than a prat, prat, or prat. So you immediately have that hint, right? But there's also detailed differences as to whether the klal is the ikar or the prat is the ikar. Is it the first klal that's the ikar before it's been limited? Or is it the last klal that's the ikar? After it's been limited, it's coming to teach you even again a klal. Again, these are all details in the aspects of klal, prat, or klal, or ribu yomiyah that have to be looked at. They're entirely rational and logical. They're not some kind of weird formula the way people read it. They are a very concrete and detailed examination of the way in which sets work in the Torah. So all of that, and a lot of that, we'll be discussing in the coming pages. So, ha'ein alecha ladur kelashon acharon, ela kelashon rishon. U'miachar shesofenu l'rabot kol davar, ma ta'amud lomar b'chartzanim v'atzag, lomar lecha kol makom sh'atom otzei prat uklal, iyata reshay l'moshcho v'laduno kein ha'prat. Ela, without that closing prat, na'ase klal musaf ala prat, okay, let's go through that in detail. Okay, by pri you mean inve, okay? Psolet pri, what would you mean? The chometz. Chometz was an example of a psolet pri. So then when you say, okay, afko pri, can you give me an example of another member of the set that wasn't specified by these the standards that you just defined? Mayi. Sure. Guharki. That's a pri. Okay, and psolet pri? Could you give me an example of what the set would include that I don't know yet? Mayi. Omrifkada? Well, how about invidichri? Okay, and the way in which that final prat is constructed, va'adzag, what's that all about? Va'adzag, omrivina, that's a riboy of bina binai. Okay. Now, you said ma prat mefurash pri gomor, afko pri gomor, and that you disproved. By amritim kein ma'inyech ha-katub b'mashma'o, shelo amro, what? Anavim lachim v'yaveshim? Says that mefurash aktivi. Yain, chomet, aktivi. Ha'in alaych aladun kelashon acharon, ela kelashon harishon. U'miachar shesofinu l'rabot kol davar, ma tamud lomar mechartzanim v'atzag after this whole limud of prat uklal, to teach me. If that's all you had, just the prat and the klal, and you'd say, well, it still makes perfectly good sense, comes the Torah to tell you, no siree. It may make sense to you, but that's the wrong way to read it. It isn't meant that way. In that case, Kiderek shepiret lecha minazir, mechartzanim ve'ad zag.